Ever get choked up watching like a really sad movie and think, huh, what if this feeling could be like stronger? Okay, maybe not, but what if technology could actually like dial up our emotions? That's kind of what we're diving into today. Get ready for a wild ride into the world of emotional tech because things are about to get interesting.
Let's just say that the line between, you know, science fiction and reality is getting pretty blurry these days.
Yeah, no kidding. So how exactly are we talking about making movie night more emotional?
Well, the research we're looking at focused on something called electric muscle stimulation, or EMS.
EMS. Okay, that sounds kind of intense.
It sounds more intense than it is, really. It's actually well-established technology. It's been used in physical therapy and athletic training for quite a while.
Okay, well, that's reassuring, I guess.
Yeah.
But how do you go from, like, rehabbing muscles to manipulating emotions? Those seem pretty different.
It's more than just muscle recovery, though. Essentially, EMS uses low-level electrical currents to stimulate muscle contractions.
So, like, think those muscle toning belts you see on TV at, like, 2 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like those, but, you know, with a more precise and, dare I say, scientific purpose.
Okay, I think I see where you're going with this. So, instead of toning abs, these researchers were interested in what, toning our emotions?
Yeah, precisely. They were particularly interested in two facial expressions, smiles and frowns.
Okay, so like happy and sad.
Exactly. Their hypothesis was that by, you know, artificially stimulating the muscles responsible for these expressions using EMS, they could actually influence a person's, their internal emotional state.
Hold on. You're saying they're trying to make people smile or frown on cue by, like, subtly zapping their facial muscles. It sounds a little Black Mirror-esque, don't you think?
A bit, yeah. But fascinating nonetheless. Right. And they didn't just randomly zap muscles or anything like that. They developed a system that could adjust the EMS intensity in real time based on a person's actual facial expressions.
Wow, that's some next level tech right there.
Yeah.
But did it actually work? Like, could they really make someone feel happy or sad just by, well, forcing their face to mimic the expression?
That is the million-dollar question. And the answer... Well, the answer is a bit complicated, as is often the case with, you know, cutting-edge research.
All right. You've piqued my curiosity. Give me the details. What did they find?
So the researchers found that while, you know, people could definitely feel the EMS working.
Like they knew something was happening.
Right, exactly. They could feel it, but it wasn't always precise in, you know, evoking the desired emotion. Turns out our facial muscles and emotions are a bit more complex than just flipping a switch.
That's reassuring in a weird way. Like, our emotions aren't that easy to manipulate. But did the EMS have any impact at all, even if it wasn't, you know, spot on?
It did. And this is where things get really interesting. While the results for amplifying positive emotions were kind of mixed, they found that EMS seemed to intensify negative emotions,
right,
particularly sadness.
Wait, really? So they were more likely to, like, actually feel sad while watching a sad scene if their face was being, well, encouraged to frown. That seems kind of, I don't know, counterintuitive, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. But this finding actually aligns with a pretty prominent theory in psychology. It's called the James Lange theory of emotion.
Okay, I'll bite. What's the James Lange theory, and what does it have to do with subtly electrocuting people's faces during movie night?
I'll admit, it's not your typical movie night, but the James Lange theory basically suggests that our physical reactions can actually influence our emotions. It's not just that, you know, we feel sad and then we cry. It's that the act of physically crying can actually make us feel more sad.
Whoa. You're blowing my mind a little bit here. So you're saying our bodies play a more active role in, like, shaping our emotions than we might realize.
Exactly. It's a two-way street between, you know, the body and the mind. And this study, while focusing on facial expressions, it provides, like, pretty compelling evidence to support that idea. By using EMS to sort of mimic the facial expressions that, you know, we associate with sadness, they may have inadvertently amplified those feelings in the participants.
So does this mean we've been thinking about emotions backward this whole time?
It's not that we've been thinking about emotions backward, but rather that we might have, like, underestimated the power of our physical selves in, you know, shaping our emotional experiences.
This is giving me a whole new appreciation for those fake it till you make it mantras.
Yeah.
But seriously, think about the implications of this. Could this technology actually be used to help people who, you know, who struggle with their emotions?
You're getting on a crucial point. Imagine the potential for therapeutic applications. Could targeted EMS therapy be used to to help individuals, you know, process and regulate their emotions more effectively. Imagine if we could, like, help someone overcome anxiety or depression by, in a sense, retraining their physical responses to emotional triggers.
That's incredible. It's like emotional physiotherapy. But let's shift gears for a sec. We were talking about movies earlier. How does this technology translate to, say, a more immersive movie experience?
Think beyond just watching a movie. Imagine, like, actually stepping into a virtual reality world. What if instead of just seeing and hearing the environment, you could actually, you know, feel the emotions of the characters you encounter, all thanks to strategically placed EMS stimulators? It could take immersion to, like, a whole new level.
Okay, that's both amazing and a little bit unnerving at the same time. But I have to ask, if we can use tech to intensify emotions, what's to stop it from being used, you know, unethically? Are we talking about, like, mind control here?
Mind control might be a bit of a stretch, but you've touched on a crucial concern. Just because we can do something doesn't always mean we should, right? Any technology that has the potential to influence our emotions, even subtly, it needs to be approached with caution and with careful consideration.
Right, right. We don't want to end up in like a real life episode of Black Mirror where our emotions are being manipulated without our consent. So what are the ethical lines we need to be careful not to cross?
I think one of the biggest concerns is the potential for exploitation. Imagine a world where advertisers use this technology to make you crave their products by subtly triggering feelings of happiness or satisfaction while you're watching an ad. Or imagine political campaigns using it to sway your opinion by amplifying feelings of, like, anger or fear towards their opponents. These are just a couple of examples, but, you know, they highlight the potential for misuse.
Those scenarios, DO, seem pretty dystopian. Yeah. Yeah. What's to stop that from happening?
This is where I think open discussion and ethical guidelines become really important. We need to be having, like, serious conversations about consent, privacy, and the potential consequences of this tech before it becomes widespread. It's about finding the right balance between exploring the potential benefits and mitigating the potential risks, right?
So how do we find that balance?
It starts with awareness, I think. Mm-hmm. The more people understand about how this technology works and the potential impact it could have, the better equipped will be to demand responsible development and use. It's about asking tough questions, considering different perspectives, and ensuring that, you know, that we're shaping the future of technology in a way that benefits humanity rather than exploits it.
That makes a lot of sense. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and pretend these advancements aren't happening. We need to be, like, proactive in shaping the role technology plays in our lives, especially when it comes to something as, you know, as personal and as powerful as our emotions. But back to the research for a moment. You mentioned earlier that they used movie clips to evoke emotions, but how did they know those clips were actually working? Did they just choose random scenes?
That's a great question, and it highlights the importance of, you know, good experimental design. They didn't just choose random scenes. They utilized a database called FilmStim, which is specifically designed for research on emotions. It contains a collection of video clips that have been carefully validated to consistently evoke specific emotional responses in viewers.
So by using FilmStim, the researchers could be confident that, like, the emotional responses they were seeing were actually due to the movie clips themselves and not just some random fluctuation in the participants' moods.
Yeah.
That's really clever.
Exactly. It ensures that the experiment is, you know, that it's measuring what it's supposed to be measuring. But the FilmStim database also allows researchers to do something else that's quite interesting.
Okay, you've officially piqued my curiosity again. What else can they do with this FilmStim thing?
Because the FilmStim database contains such a wide range of clips, researchers can use it to study not just the amplification of emotions, but also the potential for emotional transference.
Emotional transference. What in the world does that mean?
Imagine watching a scene depicting someone experiencing a strong emotion, let's say joy. Now imagine that while you're watching this, your facial muscles are being, you know, subtly stimulated to mimic a smile, even if you don't consciously feel happy at that moment. The question is, could that repeated association of, you know, the external expression of joy with the internal experience of watching someone else experience joy, could that actually lead to a transference of that emotion? Could it make you more likely to actually feel happy in the future when presented with similar stimuli, even without the EMS?
You're saying that by, like, artificially triggering certain facial expressions while we're Like, while we're exposed to specific emotional content, we might actually be rewiring our brains to respond differently to those emotions in the future.
It's a fascinating possibility, isn't it?
It's more than fascinating. It's mind-blowing. But it also raises, like, a whole new set of ethical questions, doesn't it?
Exactly. And that's what makes this research so compelling. It's not just about understanding the mechanics of how technology can influence our emotions. It's also about, you know, grappling with the profound philosophical and ethical implications of those possibilities.
This is definitely a lot to unpack, and we've only just scratched the surface. This is definitely a lot to unpack, and we've only just scratched the surface.
It really is.
So where do we go from here? Like, what does it mean to live in a world where technology has the potential to not just, you know, entertain us, but to, like, actually shape our very emotions?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? This research, it really opens up a Pandora's box of possibilities, but challenges too. On the one hand, imagine the potential here for, like, personal growth, emotional well-being. Could we use this technology to, you know, to become more empathetic, more resilient, more in tune with, like, not just our own emotions, but those of others?
It's a really compelling thought, being able to use technology to not just, like, distract ourselves from our emotions, but to actually understand them, cultivate them in a healthy way.
Yeah.
But I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the potential downsides again. What are the risks we need to be most aware of as this tech, like, as it continues to develop?
The biggest risk, I think, honestly, is the potential for manipulation. As with any powerful tool, right? It can be used for good or for ill. If we're not careful, this technology could be used to exploit our emotions, you know?
Yeah.
For profit, for political gain, even for, like, more malicious purposes.
It's a sobering thought, for sure. But we're not powerless in this. What can we do?
Yeah.
Like, as individuals, as a society.
Yeah.
To ensure that this technology is used responsibly.
Ethically. Awareness is key. I always say that. The more we understand about how this technology works, the better equipped we'll be to demand transparency, accountability from the companies, the organizations that are developing it. We need to be having these open and honest conversations about the ethical implications, setting boundaries, establishing clear guidelines for use.
So it's not just about the technology itself. It's about the choices we make about, like, how we develop it, how we deploy it, how we regulate it. Ultimately, it's about, you know, taking responsibility for the future of feeling.
Precisely. And that responsibility, it doesn't just lie with scientists, with policymakers. It lies with each and every one of us, right? It's about being informed, being engaged, and being willing to ask those tough questions.
It's about recognizing that the future isn't something that, you know, that it just happens to us. It's something we actively create through the choices we make today.
Well said. Well said. And those choices, they start with conversations like this one, with curiosity, with a healthy dose of skepticism, and with a commitment to, you know, to shaping a future where technology enhances our humanity rather than diminishes it.
That's a powerful message to end on. Huge thank you, all of our listeners, for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating and honestly thought-provoking world of emotional technology. Until next time, keep those minds curious and those conversations flowing.